I invite you this morning to turn in our Father's Word to Romans chapter 8. Two small verses, but my, are they loaded with truth. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. The purpose of our salvation. Predestined here is from the Greek word prohorizo, and it literally means to see beyond the horizon. There's only one who can see beyond the horizon, and that one is obviously God. God alone can establish the destiny of those whom he foreknew. Now, we learned last week that this foreknowledge of us is much more than just knowing who we are or knowing what we're going to do concerning his Son. But this foreknowledge means that he knew us personally. He knew you. He always knew you. And since God knows you, then your destiny he can establish. You have been predestined for a single purpose. And notice what that purpose is here. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What image of the Son is Paul speaking of here? Well, in order to appreciate that, we have to realize that Adam the first, that is the first Adam, was the progenitor of an old inferior race. He had a limited fallen body that was destined to perish. He was tied to the old earth. And there was a promise connected to him that he would return to dust. And we are all born on this planet with that image stamped on us. We were born as citizens of planet Earth. We are locked in a physical body. We are held upon this planet by gravity. And we're limited both by time and space, and we're destined to die. We're growing older. And I have the capacity to think and to feel and to choose in this earthy realm. But Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, became the last Adam, meaning there's not going to be any more after him. And as the last Adam, he became the progenitor of a new race of people. At his resurrection, he was given, you remember, a new body. Now, he took on flesh and he came to this earth in an old physical body in order to die on the cross. But when he was buried, he came back from the dead with a brand new body, a body destined to live forever. And he has become, it says here, the firstborn of many brethren to follow. That is, there's going to be many to follow him just like him. When we are placed into union with Jesus Christ through faith in him, we receive, the Bible says, a new citizenship. We become citizens of another world. And those of us who know Christ are said to be pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through. but we're on our way to a new world. And we have a new head. Not the old federal head of Adam the first, but we have a new head. The head of Adam the last. The Bible says, Paul writes, listen carefully to these words. For our citizenship, speaking of Christians, is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Remember, he promised to come back. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Listen to that. For whom he foreknew, them he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And for whom he predestined, them he also called. And for those whom he called, he justified. And for those whom he justified, he glorified. With the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. This new citizenship connects us with a new heaven and a new earth. And he himself is the firstborn of this new civilization. That's what Paul is writing. Would you look briefly, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, speaking of Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Now notice, in bringing many sons to glory. For whom he justified, them he also glorified. Bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus Christ is the firstborn of a brand new creation. And he is the progenitor of a new creation. And we're a part of that creation if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So that's the purpose. Secondly, we see in this passage the plan, the predestination plan. Look in verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also, here's the word, called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. This is the divine plan for God achieving our destiny. And I think what he's saying here, what Paul is saying, is what God starts, he finishes. The first leg of this spiritual journey is called here God's calling of those who belong to him. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. To call is the Greek word kaleo, and it means to summon. How many have gotten a summons to appear for jury duty? Receive one of those in the mail? It's a summons calling you to jury duty. That's the idea here of this word kaleo. But the calling is for a much greater purpose. Let's see if we can explain that. Music has always been a large part of my life. I've been given the privilege throughout my life to sing praises to the name of my Savior. And I have memorized and written several songs in my life. But to me, the greatest songwriter of all time was a young shepherd boy named David. And in my mind, the greatest song ever written was the 23rd song that he penned. No part of Scripture is better loved than that one. Many, and I have at times, appealed to the 23rd Psalm in times of pressure and danger when I had the overwhelming impression I had no other place to go. I went there. The Lord indeed is our shepherd. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He takes us through places of danger and darkness. What a comforting thing to know that we have such a shepherd. Listen to what this shepherd boy says about his shepherd. Listen carefully. I'm reading Psalm 139, 15 through 17. He said, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? The Gospel of John pictures Jesus Christ as our shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, this is the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, and he's speaking here. Now listen to what he says. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." In the East, shepherds brought their flocks into one central sheepfold at night. There were maybe a half a dozen flocks gathered together, and they were guarded by a porter or a gatekeeper or a doorkeeper behind locked doors. And in the morning, the shepherds returned, and each shepherd would call his sheep. And although the flocks were all mingled together, every sheep knew the voice of his own shepherd, and each one would follow his own shepherd and no other. Now, many people are asking today, who is the true Jesus Christ? What's the meaning of his birth and his death and his resurrection? There is the Jesus Christ of the Baptist Church. There is the Jesus of the Catholic Church. There's the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jesus of the Scientologists, the Jesus of the Christian Scientists, the Jesus of the Mormons, and the Jesus of the Muslim. Which Jesus is the true Jesus, the true shepherd? Well, right here in this little passage, Jesus tells us how to know, beyond any doubt. How can we know? First, he says the true shepherd comes through the door. And what this means is that the prophets in the Old Testament predicted the way that the true shepherd was to come. They said that he was to be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And Micah tells us that. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the tribes of Judah, yet out of you shall come one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." The prophet Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God dwelling with us." Isaiah also says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the prophets told us how the shepherd, what door the shepherd was to come through. And secondly, it says here, to him the doorkeeper opens. Now that doorkeeper would, of course, be John the Baptist. He became the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He introduced the shepherd to us. And he introduced him this way. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. And the third mark is an unmistakable mark. It says here, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and he goes before them. He calls his sheep by name. It was not mere chance that he went to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and Philip and Thomas and Andrew. And he even said later, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I love the passage that tells us that he said, look, I must go through Jericho. I'm going through Jericho. And the reason he went through Jericho was there was a meeting that was to take place, predetermined millions of years in advance. And he stood under that sycamore tree. And he looked up at that tax collector, that short fella that had climbed that tree because he was so short he couldn't see over everybody's head. And he climbed the tree so he could see Jesus. But I loved the conversation. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. He knew who was up there. And he said, come down because I must eat at your house today. He called him by name. He says, I know the names of my sheep. And it says here, he leads them out. He shows them the clear way. There are many religious voices crying at us today. Would you agree? You can't turn on your TV, turn on your radio without religious voices crying at us. Each wanting our attention. But it says that he, this shepherd, leads the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. I am the way. And it says here, he goes before them. When he leads you out, he never leaves you alone. He is always gone before you. He knows every situation that you're going to face in your life. He has chosen for you every circumstance of your life as a believer. To me, that's one of the great truths of Scripture that helps me handle the pressures of my life, the dangers and the pitfalls. He has gone before me, and he knows who I am and where I am and what I'm going through. And he walks through those valleys with me. What a beautiful picture that is. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the sheep trust the voice. They trust the sound of the voice that's calling them. In John chapter 10, look in verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep, listen to this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd when he calls. another incident that takes place in the Middle East, is the time for the watering of the sheep. Water holes there are pretty sparse, as you would imagine. There are not many of them around, so all of the shepherds use the same watering holes in the middle of the day and sometimes in the afternoon. And all of the shepherds gathered there with their sheep, and all the sheep mingled together around the watering holes. And then the shepherds get over under a shade tree, and they talk about the business of the day. They let the sheep water. And then when it's time to leave, each shepherd stands up and he calls the sheep. And that shepherd's voice may be a high voice. I'm not a good sheep caller, but may sound like this. Hey, hey. And the sheep says, "That's my shepherd. I know his voice." And they come out. And he walks away and they follow him. Well, the next shepherd may get up and he may have a little more of a baritone voice. Hey, hey. The sheep that recognize him as the shepherd, they come out from the rest and they follow him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, look, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. The shepherd knew his sheep, listen to this, before they came to him. He always knew them. Not that he knew who they were. He knew them. And it says, and they follow me. The sheep followed the shepherd because they knew his voice. And then he says, I've given to them eternal life. The sense of the passage is made clear when we focus in on the small adverb, when. When did the sheep belong to their shepherd? After they came to him or before they came to him? Before they came to him. They were always sheep, but when they came, he gave to them eternal life. To whom did he give eternal life? To those who were his sheep. To those who heard his voice, recognized his voice, and came to him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It's here that we learn what the shepherd says to call the sheep. It's not that we recognize his voice so much as we recognize what he says. And it's that message that draws us to the shepherd. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Now notice, because God, notice carefully, from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. That big word, sanctification, means simply the Spirit sets us apart. The Spirit sets the sheep apart from the other sheep. The Spirit sets us apart. Sanctification by the Spirit, now notice, and belief in the truth to which he called you, kaleo. He summons you. Now notice how he summons us. By our what? Gospel, the good news. That's what we hear. Now, the good news is surrounded by the bad news. And it's the bad news that makes the good news good. And the bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sheep know that. We've all sinned. And the bad news gets worse. The wages of our sin is death. Oh, but then the good news is that God Himself determined to pay that sin debt. Wait a minute now, hold it. God Himself, the everlasting, all-powerful God, the God who is so immense and so boundless that our minds can scarcely take Him in, He determined that He was going to pay our sin debt. But God, as God, could not die. Why? Because eternal life can't die. Eternal life is, by its very nature, eternal. So what did God do? He went through the most amazing transformation in all of human history. He took on flesh. That first Christmas morning at Bethlehem of Judea, born of the Virgin Mary, came into the world the Lamb of God. Equal with God, equal with man, the God-man. And He came into the world for one purpose, and that was to die. And not to die for His sin, because He had none. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And when He died on the cross, there in His body, He bore all of the guilt and penalty of our sin. He paid our sin debt in full. All of it. Past, present, and future. He paid the entire debt. Well, if He paid it, how much does that leave us to pay for? None. And He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And the Bible says He's calling people all over the world, in every generation of man, to come to the voice of the Shepherd and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died to pay for our sin. That's the message that we recognize. We hear that. And we recognize that voice. And we recognize that message. And we come out and we trust Him. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they come to Me, and I give to them eternal life. I mentioned earlier that I'm a songwriter. And words of a song that I have written speak to what I'm saying. My sheep, they hear My voice, and they follow Me. He called to Me so gently in His Word. But I did not really see that one of them was Me, until one day the Shepherd's voice I heard. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed in Him? For whom He foreknew, them He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And for those whom He predestined, them He also called. And for those whom He called, them He also justified. And for those whom He justified, them He also glorified. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this day. And we know there's never an accident with You. We know that You have set this day apart billions of years ago. You knew that we would be here, and that this meeting would be a meeting of meaning, of tremendous meaning. And every time we speak, Father, we know that the voice of the Shepherd goes out, and it finds the ear of those who belong to You, those who have always belonged to You, and they come to You. And we hear the words of the shepherd saying, the reason you do not come is because you're not of my sheep. You don't belong to me, but my sheep hear my voice, and they do come. And Father, it's my prayer that if there be some here who have heard the voice of the shepherd, that they would come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior before it's eternally too late. And Father, you've asked them not to join a church or not to pay their money or not to turn over a new leaf or not to do good works. But you've asked them to come to the shepherd and trust him alone. And you have made salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So simple, even a child could understand it. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?